Just a few moments ago at Augusta National, that was Jason Day, the Australian, does have one major championship, looking for his first green jacket, getting set to tee off this afternoon. And our coverage of the first round of the Masters will begin today, 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Again, we've got first and second round coverage on ESPN and the ESPN app. And ESPN Plus will have featured hole and featured groups coverage through all four rounds. It is my favorite week of the year, and it is underway there on the course at Augusta National. And we'll keep you posted here as we continue on how some of the developments have gone in the early going there. With that, I welcome you back to our studio. We're live at the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase, special on ESPN2 today with Masters coverage on ESPN. But we are jam-packed, and there's a lot of football to get to. Let's roll the menu for hour number two. We're getting up with another field day. The Columbus QB ready for one more chance to prove he should go number two. We'll get ready for it. Meanwhile, Tampa Tom talks. And if you pay close attention, you learn the one simple reason that he's the greatest of all time. You will hear that coming up. And then you won't believe what Jerry Jones wants Dallas to do at the top of the NFL draft. It could change everything. That's on the way as we get up with you starting right now with Justin Fields, who again is expected to take part in Ohio State's second pro day, which is scheduled for April 14th. It's important because the 49ers general manager and coach John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will now get the opportunity to get an up-close look at him. And yesterday, our Tim Hasselbeck on this program had this to say about the Ohio State quarterback.
Look, I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft, and I think that he's really not all that far behind Trevor because some of the things he can do. I think he has the talent, Greeny, to one day potentially be a league MVP type of player. You can't say that for everybody that's involved in this draft.
Talent to be an MVP caliber player. And almost every analyst that we have had on this show over the last few weeks says they believe he is the second best quarterback in this draft. So I'm going to change up the question. We've talked about why he seems to be falling. Let's move past that for a moment. Matt Miller, forget about San Francisco at three. Should the Jets be seriously considering taking Justin Fields number two in this draft?
I mean, should, yes. And I'm sure that Joe Douglas and his crew have run through this. But are they? I think they've moved past that. I think the fact that they were at Zach Wilson's pro day at BYU, everything right now signals that the New York Jets are all in on Zach Wilson. That decision has really been made for them. I do think that the gap between Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, in my mind, there isn't one. I think Justin Fields is the second quarterback in this class with Zach Wilson. Very, very close behind him is, yes, they should be considering it. But Greeny, I think that your team has probably already made the decision and is locked in with who they're taking at number two.
Yeah, so I guess the question then, Jeff Darlington, is as Justin Fields puts together another opportunity here and the 49ers brass right. And anyone else who wants who can come and watch, these things are not in stone. We're 3 weeks actually to the day away from round one right here, Jeff. So as we right now, the conventional wisdom projects him to be the fifth quarterback off the board. That obviously is fluid and next week could change that substantially, yes?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's so funny. Literally just had this thought pop into my head about Baker Mayfield several years ago. Like, do you remember, like, nobody thought, I remember a few days before having some conversations with some people, and it was like, hey, Baker Mayfield might go number one overall. And everybody's like, no, that's not going to happen. Baker Mayfield's not going number one overall. And he did. Things change. Like, it is, to your point, a very fluid process. Justin Fields had a really good pro day already. The first one, he ran a 4.44. He was accurate. He was explosive. He did all of the things that he needed to do. Now he'll do it in front of the 49ers brass. So while I'm with you on all of this, and there probably is a lot of accuracy in a lot of it, things definitely change. So you said it exactly right. Nothing here is written in stone.
It does bring up the question, though, Jeff. D-Wood, I'll get to you in a minute, but Matt, like, what is going to happen at this pro day? Like, what are people going to see they haven't seen? He's had a pro day. Yeah. He performed well. He put two outstanding seasons on tape at Ohio State. Yeah. What happens at a second pro day that's going to change something?
Nothing. And that's the key here. That's what makes it confusing is I understand having a second pro day. It's smart by Justin Fields. It's smart by Ohio State, who I'm told that Sean Wade, the corner, will also work out at this pro day. So it is a little confusing, though. I mean, what more can you ask a player to do? And I think that's what's frustrating as someone who kind of goes to bat for Justin Fields is What more does he have to show? He was a five-star prospect coming out of high school. He had success at Georgia as a true freshman. He went to Ohio State, immediately becomes a starter, never loses a game in the Big Ten. He's a leader during the Black Lives Matter movement. He's advocating for people. He's getting his players involved. When the Big Ten shuts down, he starts the Let Us Play movement. All these things. Like, there's nothing more that you could ask him to do. I don't know what one more pro day is going to convince the Niners or someone else to make him the quarterback.
You add to it, he took a hit in that game against Clemson, and I couldn't believe he was still walking, and he threw six touchdowns. D. Wood, your thoughts here. Justin Fields.
I just can't believe all the chatter out there, how this guy is sliding down boards. I mean, is everyone watching the same games that I'm watching with Justin Fields? Did everyone watch what he did head-to-head with Trevor Lawrence, where he totally outplayed Trevor Lawrence in one of the biggest stages in college football? I mean, you know, just like Matt said, I mean, this guy has shown everything since stepping on a college campus, whether it's University of Georgia, at Ohio State, just dominating the Big Ten. What more does the guy need to do to prove that he's one of the top guys in this draft? I don't know.
Right.
Obviously thinks he needs to do something because he is going to have a second pro day, and we'll see. Jeff Darlington, final thought, go.
I'll go back to the same thing I said. This is a fluid one, guys. Give it some time. We'll see where he ends up. I think there is a lot of merit to especially those first two picks and also Kyle Shanahan's kind of desire to go in a different direction. Things change. There's a reason why those guys are showing up at that pro day.
I continue not to buy into the they're all set at three narrative that is emerging. I'm not questioning what anyone else is saying. It just maybe in my own mind, it just doesn't completely make sense. We'll see. Let's move on to the next topic here. And that's a quarterback who's already proved everything that you could possibly prove, including over the past. What a year it's been for Tom Brady. After that, his last moment as a New England Patriot in March of 2020, he announced that he's leaving there after 20 years. Goes to Tampa, leads them to their second ever Super Bowl win, is the MVP of the game. They win it in their home stadium. The celebration, of course, is the stuff of legend. He's throwing the Lombardi Trophy over open water. And then yesterday, he sat down with Michael Strahan on Good Morning America to talk about why he keeps playing.
So, Tom, what more do you have to prove?
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot, and I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
Okay, so we spent some time earlier this morning, if you were just joining us, talking about his longevity and all the rest of that, how much longer to expect it to go. Matt, let's talk about what the Buccaneers might be thinking here. This feels like a pretty reasonable spot after they bring back all 22 of the players who started in the Super Bowl last year. Like, at the very end of the first round, might feel like a reasonable spot to draft a quarterback. There are several of them who will be on the board after the big five at the top to learn from and eventually replace Tom Brady. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that that's unreasonable. This is an interesting year. Now, I don't have a quarterback that I would say, okay, they're a value at 32. Let's draft this player. But I do think Tampa has to look at least entertaining the idea of a successor to Tom Brady, who, hey, he might play till he's 50, but you have to at least look at this right now and say, can we trade back from 32? Can we get to the middle of round two, maybe to stay ahead of the Chicago Bears, the Washington football team, the New Orleans Saints, and look at someone like a Davis Mills from Stanford, who only played 13 games for the Cardinal, but has the big arm, 6'5", 220. He has the mobility. He was a captain there. He's a really intelligent quarterback who just, due to injuries and then the COVID-19 pandemic, hasn't had a lot of experience. But could we see Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich look at the arm strength of Davis Mills and fall in love? Absolutely, we could. So I don't think you can rule it out. Now, 32, we would be making fun of this pick. You can't take one of these guys at 32. That's not the value. But if they can move back and get a quarterback at 64 or somewhere in the middle of round two, I think that makes a lot more sense for them.
Davis Mills was the number one quarterback recruit coming out of the state of Georgia when he was in high school. Georgia wanted him. Alabama wanted him. He went to Stanford. And as you point out, he hasn't played much. But, Jeff, I couldn't help but notice out of the corner of my eye when I brought that up. The look on your face spoke volumes. What did it mean?
I talked to Jason Light enough to kind of feel like I know him pretty well. And I think about what the Packers did by drafting Jordan Love. And I know we had this conversation earlier. I just don't think Jason Light is thinking that way right now. And this is what makes so many quarterbacks jealous. He looks at this and says, I want to win again. I want to get another Super Bowl. We are in a moment. We are in a historic moment, and he knows it. What I found so refreshing about Light this season, anytime I talk to him, he was like a kid in a candy store. He loved it. He loved everything about having Tom Brady and building a team around him to win the Super Bowl. I just don't think he's thinking as conventionally as a lot of these other GMs about the future. And maybe he'll pay the ultimate price in 4 or 5 years when the Bucks say, man, what have you done for me lately? You're fired. But I don't think Jason Light cares. I don't. I think that he wants to win another Super Bowl, and I think that he will draft accordingly to help his team do exactly that.
Okay, that's fair. So, D. Wood, last year we saw Kansas City as the defending champs. They drafted the running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, at the very end of the round. Tampa's bringing everybody back. What do they need? What should they add? What should Tampa be adding to their team in round one to try and help them win another championship?
Greeny, this is strictly a luxury pick. I mean, I would probably maybe go on the defensive side and just add another playmaker on that side of the football, because think about this, Greeny. They get O.J. Howard back. I mean, they got another tight end that they're going to get back.
Yep.
They got another tight end that they're going to get back in the mix. So, the rich get richer in this situation. So, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can go in any direction they want at 32.
Yeah, and they could wind up, if they choose to take a quarterback further down the line, there are others who will go in rounds 2 and 3 and beyond that, and maybe they try and find a developmental player there. Let me leave that for the moment, because we had the return of the night last night, and it was that man, Kevin Durant, back and better than ever. His first game after missing 23 of them over 2 months with a hamstring. Mom's in the house, and she loves it in Brooklyn. Midway through the second is when KD checks in, and here he goes. He looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Perfect, in fact, was the operative word last night. He didn't miss a shot, as he just looks smooth. That's the first one going in. Mom loves it. 2 minutes later, the Nets are up 11, by the way. Durant with a loose ball. Now he's in transition. Now you're not going to stop him. Durant 9 points in just 7 minutes in the first half. Third quarter, Brooklyn up 20. Durant, a little catch and shoot from distance, knocking that down, looking so smooth. 5 of 5 from the floor, 17 points in his return. And look at him here. Kyrie, give me the ball. I got range for days. 17 points, 5 assists, 7 boards. Kevin Durant reminding the world, when I'm back, I'm the best player in the world. 139-111, a big win for the Nets. KD, let's talk.
I expected to come out here and play the way I played. I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. Whatever coach throws at me, I got to be prepared for, and I'm sure he's going to try to toss some curveballs at me and see how I handle it, and I'm looking forward to it.
So he played 19 minutes, and they were unbelievably good when he was on the floor. They outscored New Orleans by 22 points and shot nearly 20% better from the floor when KD was out there, which is very impressive for a man playing his first game in almost 2 months. Coming up, how close is Aaron Rodgers to leaving Green Bay? And if he does, where could he end up next? We'll answer that question. And he may be the most important player in the draft, and for some reason he's falling in a bunch of mocks. We're going to get Damian Woody all upset coming up next. Get up. Today we're on ESPN2. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Aaron Rodgers is the only contestant on the program today. Here are your categories. Aaron?
The Lombardi Trophy is going back to Green Bay.
A thing of beauty. Jeopardy.
That's nicely done. Aaron Rodgers, he's good at a lot of different things. He would have over $30 million in dead money this season, by the way, if he were to move on from the Packers. So it seems unlikely that he would this year. But next year, that number goes down substantially, as you see. This season alone, nine teams have that much in dead money. So next season is really the time that most people are pinpointing as the possibility for Aaron Rodgers to move on. And I think that's a big part of the question marks here. And Jeff Darlington, I will start with you, because these are no longer whispers. These are, you know, fully out in the open conversations people across the league are having about right. What feels like the beginning of the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So how should one expect it to go from here?
Well, I'm curious to see how the Packers handle what has been a very vocal offseason from Aaron Rodgers, a very candid offseason from Aaron Rodgers. You know, we talked in the last segment about what Jason Light did in Tampa in terms of just going all in to win Super Bowls with a legend at quarterback right now. Will the Packers follow suit in any way, shape, or form? I'm not saying that's the new way to do things. Teams want to build for the future. But if they want to keep Aaron Rodgers around, they have to make some sort of commitment beyond financial to make that happen. That, I think, is the next chapter in the Aaron Rodgers saga.
So, Matt, what do you identify if they're going to try and win now? If they're going to try and win within the Aaron Rodgers window, what do you identify as their biggest need, and who should they take in round one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to what they haven't done and what Jeff was saying. Make a commitment to Aaron Rodgers. Give him a wide receiver in the first round, please. Davante Adams is great, but you can only get so far with, you know, taking guys street free agents, players other teams didn't want. You can only get so far with that. So we look at where they're at the end of round one. A player like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, who's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. He's electric. He's physical. He's aggressive. A player like that would open up this offense. You don't need a number one receiver. You have that. But you could expand this offense by giving Rodgers a true yards after catch threat that he really hasn't had since Randall Cobb in his prime. So I think Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, if he's on the board, it's time to break this tradition of not taking receivers early in the draft for Green Bay.
He's a player whose stock is skyrocketing right now. So to your point, he may not be available by the time they get
might
there.
Not be.
And then D Wood, let me spin the question then back the other direction. If this is indeed going to be the final year for Aaron Rodgers, you know he's going to want to go someplace and try and win, and be on spite or whatever the case may be. Give me the spot. Where should Aaron Rodgers wind up next?
Greeny, how about New Orleans? I know they re-signed Jameis, but listen, we don't know how that situation is going to play itself out. And could you imagine Aaron Rodgers teamed up with Sean Payton as his play caller down in New Orleans? That front office is one of the best front offices in the National Football League. They still got a ton of talent on that roster. Even with all the cap, you know, restrictions, New Orleans would be right back in the mix a la Tampa Bay with Tom Brady as a Super Bowl contender.
It's a fascinating situation to consider. Jeff Darlington, how about you?
100% with Damian on that one. New Orleans, to me, makes the most sense. And by the way, don't forget, New Orleans made a very serious run at Tom Brady. I think people underestimate how close Brady came to becoming a New Orleans Saints had Drew Brees decided to retire a year early. So they're not afraid to go after the veteran legend. I could see them following suit with Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans.
Matt, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go a different direction here. I agree. Aaron Rodgers wants to win. So why don't you go to the greatest head coach of all time at Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots? New England has Cam Newton for 1 year. They don't have a successor waiting in the wings. So a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers going to New England. No, they don't have the best skill positions around them, but we saw them add two very good tight ends this year. They'll address wide receiver in the draft. And the allure of playing with Belichick. If you want another Super Bowl ring other than Sean Payton, I don't know if there's anyone you would go to other than Bill Belichick that has a need at the quarterback position, at least.
That'd be a fascinating one to watch. A lot of people have put him in Northern California. That's where he's from. But the 49ers look like they're going to draft a quarterback at number three here, so that probably won't happen. All right, we will see. Meanwhile, D. Wood, it is now your turn. It's time for the Wood-based pun of the week. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is Knock on Wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greeny, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile. Chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. The lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood. Is wood fire turkey. Damian Woody is going to call someone turkey.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
So this week's wood-based pun is would you rather. And D. Wood, I'm going to set this one up for you here if I can. What seems to be quite clear is that NFL teams would rather take guys who catch the football than guys who block. If you look at all of these mock drafts, every single one of them is loaded with the playmakers, the receivers, all of them. Look at that. We got four receivers, if you include Kyle Pitts there, and we do, and Todd McShay's latest mock, going ahead of the generational prospect at left tackle, Penei Sewell, out of Oregon. They have him going number 13. That is blatant disrespect, Damian Woody, for the offensive line. What do you say?
Greeny, why in the hell are you trying to get my blood pressure high this morning? I mean, listen, we know the NFL is all about the glitz and the glamour. Of course, they want the star wide receiver to be showing out. We saw what Justin Jefferson did last year with the Minnesota Vikings. He had a huge year. But I'm going to say this, okay? If you want a position tried and true, if you want bang on your investment, then you go with the offensive lineman, okay? And all we got to do is go back to last year in that same draft with Justin Jefferson in it and look at the offensive tackles that were drafted in the first round. How about Tristan Wirfs, who was one of the best tackles in the league on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won the Super Bowl? How about Jedrick Wills, who was drafted by the Cleveland Browns and shored up the left tackle position for Baker Mayfield and company, and that offensive line was rolling people? Okay, Greeny, how about this one right here? How about Mekhi Becton, who was a human highlight film at 6'7", 365 for your New York Jets, just tossing everybody out of the club? So again, the NFL is all about the glitz and the glamour and the highlight reel catches. But if you want to get to a Super Bowl, okay, if you want to contend year after year, then you go with the big dogs who don't get nearly the respect that they should. So y'all keep sleeping on all these offensive tackles, whether it's Rashawn Slater or Penei Sewell or whoever the guy is, okay? Those guys are going to take you to the promised land. I bet you on that.
Absolutely. I am with you. Also, if you look at how deep the receiver position is in the draft this year, there'll be a lot of other opportunities to get pass catchers. There aren't too many Sewells and Slaters out there, though there are some other good offensive tackles. That's would you rather, and that is the fella who would rather draft on the offensive line. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones, maybe not that style. Would he really add another offensive weapon for Dak instead of doing something on defense? We're talking about the plans in Big D. And then so many big events this weekend, including WrestleMania. WWE star Drew McIntyre will join us live next. Don't miss it. Get up. Today we're on ESPN2. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on Get Up, and there's a man getting set. That's Brooks Koepka coming back from surgery. He's ready to try and get something done today as he will tee off just about an hour from now in the first round of the Masters. Remember, our coverage of rounds one and two of the Masters today and tomorrow, starting 3 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN. You can watch on the ESPN app, special coverage on ESPN Plus. The Masters is underway, and we will keep you posted on all of the action here throughout our morning. Meanwhile, as we continue, yesterday, social media was abuzz when this video came out of Dak Prescott throwing and working out at an indoor practice facility. He, of course, suffered that brutal leg injury back in October. It appears to be on track in his recovery. And speaking of the Cowboys, in Todd McShay's latest mock draft, he has them taking South Carolina corner J.C. Horn, which makes sense because their defense was unimaginably terrible last year, and you would think they need to do something about that. But on Tuesday of this week, our Chris Mortensen revealed that Jerry Jones may have other plans for draft day. Listen to this.
We're hearing this thing about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, and the GM being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. So I have figured out that he's going to have to trade up to get Kyle Pitts. He spent $40 million a year on Dak Prescott, so why not go get Kyle Pitts? Or if he actually falls to 10, you couldn't rule him out.
All right, and Chris Canty joins us in studio again. And to be clear, while nothing is impossible, the likelihood of Kyle Pitts falling to 10 is so unlikely as to not even really be worth putting into the conversation. So with that thought in mind, Jeff Darlington, what is your sense of the chance that Jerry Jones is going to trade up to take an offensive weapon in a draft where everyone says he needs defense?
I can't see him trading too much ammunition because, by the way, giving up the assets that, to your point, even if you're not drafting a defensive player at 10, which you would think that they would, they still need the assets later to build depth on the defense. It's not one person that's going to fix that unit. So it is difficult to imagine, and to your point, it's also difficult to imagine Pitts falling to 10. So while Jerry Jones can be infatuated, the likelihood of Pitts winding up with the Dallas Cowboys feels pretty low to me.
Yeah, I mean, again, the only way it happens is if he is willing to move up and get him. And so I only have one defensive player with me today. So let me get into that with you, Candy. What do you think? The idea that, I mean, everyone's all excited. Oh, bring more offensive weapons. Everyone loves the points and the fantasy. And I enjoy it, too.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, do the Dallas Cowboys need to draft on their defense?
No, I think they do have to go with the defense. I absolutely do. I'm with Jeff on this one. I don't think it makes sense to take a tight end, whether it's the 10th overall pick or you move up into the top 10, just because you do need to build depth with the draft picks that you have right now, because you're paying your quarterback top of the market money. And beyond that, the issues with the Dallas Cowboys, the defensive side of the ball, historically bad unit. They've got to address the secondary. They really only have one cornerback there that you would trust to hold up as your starter for the entire season. And then when you look at that offense, the skill position players aren't the biggest concern. The biggest concern is that group up front being able to stay healthy. So if you were going to make a pick with a guy with a selection in the top 10 on that side of the ball, it has to be on that offensive line.
What do you think, D. Wood?
Well, Greeny, you heard me last hour. I said my heart, I would love something like that to happen because it's Dallas and it's a star and all that. But listen, I think you, just from a rational standpoint, they have to go defense. That defense was – anyone who watched it, you were nauseated just watching that defense last year. They got to infuse more talent on that side of the ball. So, you know, just traditional wisdom would tell you at number 10 – you got to go out there, you know, whether it's a corner, linebacker, they got to get players on that side of the ball if they want to contend in the NFC this year.
You know, and Chris, I mean, there are some things you can't be too much of or have too much of, right? You can't be too rich, you can't be too handsome. But they have enough offense, right? I mean, you look at the offense and you look at the collection of receivers and you look at Ezekiel Elliott and they paid the quarterback. I mean, not that you can't have more, but they have enough offense even without drafting someone like Kyle Pitts, don't they?
Yeah, they have enough guys that can do some special things with the balls in their hands. But if you're looking at the offensive side of the ball, the biggest concern, the biggest impediment to them being an elite unit would be that offensive line. Tyron Smith, their all-world left tackle, only played in 2 games last year. He's only been healthy all 16. You know, he hadn't been healthy all 16 the last 5 years. So, I mean, that has to be an area of concern. You've got some moving parts there. So, to me, if you're thinking offensive side of the ball, if you want that to be continue to be the identity of the team, you would go with the offensive line and you would protect your quarterback who's coming off of a major injury.
Absolutely. Look, LeSean Slater from Northwestern figures to be there, and he could play left side or right side at tackle, so you would have that flexibility depending on the injury situation with Tyron Smith. Go ahead, D. Wood. Final thought. Go.
Didn't we just talk about this in my wood-based pun? Didn't we just talk about this? The tight end and the offensive line. And here it is. The situation could play itself out.
Absolutely. So D. Wood is going to wind up being right, and that's what the Cowboys are going to do. Guys, sit tight. We have much more football to come, but we have a very special guest ready to go. Drew McIntyre is a 2-time former WWE champion, most recently holding the title in February of this year. He's nicknamed the Scottish Warrior. McIntyre, the first Scottish superstar to become WWE champion, and he is in action in a big way this weekend, challenging Bobby Lashley for the WWE championship. Championship at WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium, and it is our delight now to welcome him in. He is the star of Monday Night Raw and the two-time former WWE champ, Drew McIntyre, is here. Drew, thank you for taking some time, as we know you're getting set for this huge weekend. Give us a sense of how you are getting ready for the match with Bobby Lashley this weekend.
Whew, I've been ready since I lost the WWE Championship a couple of months ago for this match with Lashley. The fact it's taking place at WrestleMania, get a chance to win back my title, the fact that we'll get fans back in the building for the first time in over a year, 25,000 crazy WWE fans. I cannot wait. Look at him beating on me there. I can't wait to put my foot right between his eyes and win back my title.
What has it been like with the fans, or to have the fans? What are you anticipating there? Can you describe the energy? There's so much a part of the experience, obviously, at WWE. How will it change the energy, do you believe?
Our fans are our number one superstar. They bring the unique atmosphere of WWE. And it's not been easy not having them for a year. I'm very proud of everything we've been able to achieve, keeping everyone entertained during these difficult times. We had our Thunderdome where we brought our fans in virtually. It was nice to hear them over the speakers. But there's nothing like WWE fans live. I've been to every sport you can imagine, baseball, American football, ice hockey. I can only compare them to European soccer fans, how loud and passionate they are. If you thought the Super Bowl was loud, wait till you hear 25,000 WWE fans on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to sound like 400,000.
How would you describe the hunger? You mentioned it there just briefly, what you can't wait to do after he took your belt from you. How would you describe the hunger you feel going into this matchup?
I've had the hunger since day one. I've always wanted to be in WWE my whole life. I always wanted to be WWE champion. I was the first ever Scotsman signed at 21 years old. It took 20 years to win my first title last year off of Brock Lesnar. Every day is day one as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that I'm getting to main event WrestleMania for the second year in a row, the fans are just returning. It's like a dream come true for me. The hunger never goes away. It never will go away for me. And this show is going to blow people's minds.
It's also a home date for you, if you will. You are a Tampa native now. That's where you make your home these days. And I know that you voiced the 2021 season hype video for the Tampa Bay Rays. So we're going to give you the floor here. Give us your best hype video for WrestleMania this weekend. What are the fans ready to see from you right now? Go.
Go, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. If you know, you know. If you don't, this weekend, check out WrestleMania. There's a reason we're in 800 million homes, 180 countries, 28 different languages, over a billion with a B social media followers. It's for the youngest kid to the oldest adult, not just for guys. 40% of our audience is females. You know, you get eyes on WrestleMania, you're going to see things are starting to get back to normal. It's going to be awesome to see those fans there. Quite frankly, we're going to blow your damn minds. And Drew McIntyre, like I said before, is going to put his big, big foot right between Lashley's eyes and win back the WWE Championship.
We're ready to go. Drew McIntyre again, star of Monday Night Raw, two-time champ, and maybe this weekend the belt back for the third time. Thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend, Drew. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
All right, on we go. As we continue on Get Up this morning, coming back to football, the rising star of the NFL draft, wait till you hear the ceiling and the floor for Zach Wilson, who seems to be New York bound. And could the Steelers find Big Ben's replacement in this draft? You've got questions, we've got answers as we get up with you. Here is this week's NBA Saturday primetime matchup on ABC. Lakers playing game three of their five-game East Coast swing against KD, Kyrie, and the Nets. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown, 8 Eastern. You can watch it on ABC or on the ESPN app. All right, our draft insider, Matt Miller, is with us here today, and we're talking about Zach Wilson, young quarterback. Matt, give us a best and worst case scenario for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Greeny, I think best case scenario, obviously you see it here, is Patrick Mahomes. And the reason I point this out, Zach Wilson is an elite thrower of the football. One of the things we see him do, I call him YOLO passes. We see him roll around, throw the ball down the field, and his guy comes down with him. That works for Mahomes. It doesn't always work for other players. So I think worst case scenario is Drew Locke, where he tries to do too much with his arm, where he's turning the ball over. That's one thing we haven't seen, a question we can't answer about Zach Wilson right now.
And then sometimes those things come down to coaching and comes down to who you're playing with and other things like that. What is your sense, Jeff? We have talked about the draft as though it starts at 3. Some are even saying it doesn't start until 4. Is there lock, stock, and barrel, done deal, Zach Wilson, number 2 to the Jets? Is that no point in talking about that for the next 3 weeks?
I don't get that sense. People are even when it comes to Zach Wilson potentially. Oh, Zach Wilson to the Jets. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, that feels like it's locked in. I thought we were still talking about the 49ers there. That one feels like for sure we're starting this thing at 3. And to your point, it really feels like now we're really on the clock with the Falcons at 4.
And so let's talk about it, D. Wood. I mean, that's a team that you follow closely. You played for the Jets for several years, and it's a team that has a lot of needs and had a very valuable asset in that second pick that they could have traded to fill a lot of other holes if they had decided to stick with their previous quarterback in Sam Darnold. They didn't. They trade him. Now they sort of open the door for the new young player. What's your expectation?
Well, I think Zach Wilson be walking into a much better scenario, situation, environment than Sam Darnold. I think when you look at this, you know, the team, the organization, you have general manager Joe Douglas handpicking Robert Saleh as the head coach. So both of those guys are married at the hip. They had a ton of cap space and they addressed a lot of needs on their teams in free agency. And then they have a bunch of assets in the draft over this year and next year. So I think the organization saw the mistakes that they made with Sam Darnold and not surrounding him. They're not going to do that with Zach Wilson. They're going to make sure he has all the weapons and players that he needs in order to thrive.
And I guess one last thing I would ask you, Matt, relative to this is, if everyone keeps saying, including you, Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft, why does it make sense that Zach Wilson is going to be the second one drafted?
I think it goes back to the scheme that they're going to run with what Mike LaFleur is bringing from San Francisco. They want someone who can operate off play action, who can turn their back to the field. And then also with Zach Wilson, I think we have to remember the best case scenario there was just the greatest quarterback on planet Earth. So with Zach Wilson, maybe he's not there yet, but some of these throws, and I was standing on the sideline when he made this throw, guys. I mean, some things that he can do are absolutely electric. And so I think the ceiling for Zach Wilson is the highest. With Justin Fields, he's answered more questions in the Big Ten against elite competition in the college football playoff. We haven't seen that from Zach, but in the right scheme with the right coaching, like D Wood said, with the right supporting cast, the throws that Zach Wilson makes, no one else in this class can make. So there is still a lot to like about him. We don't have to put Zach down to bring Justin up. He's still a great quarterback prospect, and the Jets are getting someone who, without a great offensive line, can go out and create. We've seen him do things off platform that very few quarterbacks can do.
Fair enough. It is talent that is nothing to sneeze at, despite the fact that I sneezed. My apologies. Okay. Meanwhile, these five guys that everyone is talking about all the time are not the only quarterbacks in this draft. Let's start talking about some of these other quarterbacks, Matt, whose names will be called. Let's hear from them, starting with Kyle Trask.
Yeah, Kyle Trask, 43 touchdowns this past year, was a Heisman Trophy finalist. He is not the strongest arm, but he's accurate. He can move some of the pocket. And Dan Mullen, the head coach there, is a coach who knows how to get quarterbacks ready for the NFL. He had Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. Kyle Trask is accurate when things are perfect for him in the pocket. So I think he is the round two pick who could be an NFL starter moving forward. Kellen Mond's an interesting name, Greeny. Someone whose stock is rising thanks to a very good Senior Bowl week. He was a four-year starter in the SEC, 6'2", 205 pounds. Not the biggest player, but my goodness, the arm strength is electric. He can move in the pocket. I see him as a potential fit for a team like the New Orleans Saints, where he can move, work off platform a little bit, and launch it down the field like he's doing right there. And then finally, a player who only started 13 games in college football. That's Davis Mills, who, as you said earlier, was the number one prospect coming out of high school. The arm strength is absolutely there. The size is there. The mobility is actually pretty good. He can play from within the pocket. We know coming out of Stanford, it's going to be a pro-style system. So you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers in round two. We mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers earlier. He will have a fit with an NFL team. And I've talked to scouts who say he might be the sixth best quarterback in this draft. So don't be surprised if his name heats up over the next 3 weeks as teams are looking for that next best guy that they can get outside of the top 10 picks.
Don't be surprised if he's not eventually the best quarterback in this draft. He's just not one who's ready to play immediately. So a place like Pittsburgh or another where they have a veteran and you start developing the young player, I think, would make a lot of sense. Matt, thank you. Outstanding work today as we continue to work through these quarterbacks. Meanwhile, how about the game of the night from baseball yesterday? The A's are winless on the season, and it gets worse because they got to face Trevor Bauer in the bottom of the second. The Dodgers had a 1-0 lead, and Bauer is throwing high heat at Matt Chapman, and Bauer is fired up. Later in the inning, runners at first and second, but there's Elvis Andrus looking at the pitch on the corner. Bauer would go 6 2/3, gave up 2 runs, struck out 10. But we go to the bottom of the ninth. Runners at second and third, and it's Andrus at the plate with a chance to be the hero when that one is smashed. Chris Taylor is going to make the catch. Here comes the play at the plate. Chapman is tagging from third, and we can't hang on. We're going to extras, tied at 3 in the extra frames, bottom of 10. Same score, runners at the corners for the A's. Can they get their first win of the season? Mitch Moreland. Answer is yes. Smacks one to center, and there he goes. Go crazy, Oakland, the last team to win on the season. A's take it by a score of 4-3. Coming up, Justin Fields will get a second chance to make a first impression. News that could change everything in the draft. We're talking about it right after this. We are back on Get Up, and a reminder, Masters coverage is coming your way today. Dustin Johnson is the defending champion, won the event when it was held in November of last year, and he'll be on the course later today. You'll see our coverage of rounds 1 and 2 of the Masters today and tomorrow, starting 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, our exclusive coverage. And once again, ESPN Plus will have featured hole and featured group coverage all 4 rounds. Will keep you posted as the action there continues today. Meanwhile, the action coming up here will be First Take in just a few minutes. If the Nets' big three is healthy, are they a lock to win a championship? And what can stop Tom Brady from winning title number 8? Charlie Arnold, Chinne Ogumike, and Kimberly Martin are hosting First Take, and they are 4.5 minutes away here on ESPN2. Meanwhile, we get back to Justin Fields, who's expected to take part in Ohio State's second pro day, April 14th. And that's important because 49ers general manager John Lynch and coach Kyle Shanahan, who are likely looking to take a quarterback at number 3, having traded up there, will get the chance to see him up close and personal. And this is a player of whom Tim Hasselbeck said on the show he thinks he has MVP kind of talent. And so I'll ask again, Matt, as one who makes your living following everything having to do with the draft, what is it anyone could possibly see at a pro day? What could change based upon a pro day for a player who's done as much as he has on and off the field?
Yeah, Greeny, for the four of us sitting here, I mean, it's what can change? We've seen it, right? Like you said, for 3 years of college, we've seen it. He's already had one pro day. But I think the important thing is, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are human beings, just like the rest of us, we think, anyway. And we're all prone to recency bias. We're all prone to the last thing we saw, right? And so this is actually very smart by Justin Fields to hold a pro day workout 2 weeks before the NFL draft, 15 days before round one, to put himself back into the front of their minds. I don't think there's any harm that could be done. And as Jeff brought up earlier, a great point. At this time, 3 years ago, everyone thought Sam Darnold would be the first pick by the Cleveland Browns. And it was about 2 days before the draft, you really heard, hey, it's Baker Mayfield's their guy. So, yeah, we all feel like we know who the picks are going to be at 1, 2, 3. But there is still some time. There's still some room for movement here, especially if there's any disagreement in that front office with Adam Peters, John Lynch, and Kyle Shanahan. This is smart by Justin Fields and his camp to have one more workout for them.
Plus, Jeff, it does feel like in this year, which is so different, no combine, the opportunities for right. teams to bring players in where they could sit with them, have dinner with them, all the things that you're accustomed to doing as a football team before you make the kind of investment that these teams are going to make in these young players at any position, that maybe the opportunity for just a little one-on-one connection might make some difference, Jeff, yes?
Absolutely, no question. I mean, that's so critical, like especially at the quarterback position. He's an extension of the coaching staff. So there has to be chemistry between the head coach and the quarterback in this situation. So it's a great point that you make. Move of Justin Fields, who, by the way, said, hey, if someone missed my first workout, I'll do another workout, no problem. The 49ers did miss that workout. So who knows what kind of connection can build from this. I ultimately think that the 49ers won't draft Justin Fields, but I certainly appreciate.
We lost Jeff there a little. Leave him up. I like the position in which he's frozen. To finish up, Damian Woody, let me come to you if I can. Give me a sense of what he'd look like in that offense. We know that isn't historically the style of play that Kyle Shanahan has had success with. But put Justin Fields in that San Francisco offense with Kyle calling the plays. What does it look like?
Oh, Greeny would be electric. I mean, this is a run first type of offense that wants to have its – have their quarterbacks on the move. So I know, you know, Kyle Shanahan has worked with the Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. He also worked with RG3. So, I mean, imagine a play call of Kyle Shanahan's caliber being able to have an athlete like Justin Fields. There's so many things you could do, from RPOs and rollouts, bootlegs, all different types of things you can do with a quarterback slash athlete like Justin Fields. The sky would be the limit, and I think he would put Justin Fields in a perfect position in that offense.
Yeah, I think a lot of us think that, and yet it seems, to Jeff's point, as though it's not the likeliest outcome here. Matt, final thought. What is the likeliest place that Justin Fields get drafted, in your opinion?
Yeah, right now, I mean, it seems like it would be a trade-up. The Denver Broncos hold the number 9 overall pick. If he starts to slip down the board, we could see them maybe jump up a couple spots, not to get ahead of anyone that needs a quarterback, but more so to secure him at the quarterback position. So I think Denver makes the most sense. I'm with what Jeff said earlier. It really feels like San Francisco goes Mac Jones. Trey Lance is also in the mix here, so we could see these two quarterbacks drop just a little bit.
All right, we will see. Again, drop is a relative term. They're not going to fall that far.
Right.
But to be the fifth quarterback in a 5-quarterback class, you can see where that could rub them the wrong way. Guys, thank you for getting up with us. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.